It don't matter what I try, I just can't win and I don't know why. There's a fork in every road, I pick the wrong one and then I go. American loser, yes I am, disenfranchised from everything. Well, I fall up and I fall down, an American loser the day I was born.
Welcome back to another episode of American Loser. It is the podcast that puts the spotlight firmly on second place. If you're a new listener, each week what we do here at a shared universe studio in Eatontown, New Jersey, where Mike and Ming are taking great care of us, what we like to do is we sit down and we talk about what we think are the biggest losers in American history. And if you're already familiar with the show, welcome back and thanks for supporting us, okay? We're having a lot of fun. We're coming up on some big shit here, but first and foremost, my Dilf of a dad is in studio with us. LP, how are you feeling today?
Oh, we're just doing great, Kev. We're just doing great.
And ladies, he's wearing a nice light blue shirt that is complimenting his dreamy blue eyes. Just letting you know at home. All right, and the kahuna back from eating, praying, and loving.
Oh, yeah.
And unleashing his inner goddess.
I found my soul. It's good, man. Wow.
There you go.
It was an excellent expedition, and you didn't expect me to actually come back and be like, I know what the fuck you're talking about
also
this time
true.
Around.
I was pretty happy.
you think I don't listen.
No, he listens when he's not on the show, which I'm so happy about. And then Nick's hanging out, the new intern here over at Shared Universe. Good man over here.
My identical twin.
Yeah, you guys do look very much the same. So same hair and
much,
everything.
Very much so.
Dad, we noticed a pattern with the losers. First of all, we've had a lot of female losers, okay? And unfortunately, some of them are batshit crazy.
Well, yeah.
Some?
Now, we don't mean to do this, but for some reason, I adore this woman, okay? I really do. One of the funniest comics I've ever worked with, the queen of New Jersey, Jackie Byrne, is back on the show here with us.
Hi, losers.
Hey, what's up?
I'm back, bitches. Let's do it.
And for some reason, we bring you back for mental illness-heavy episodes. I'm sorry.
No, thank you. It really just shows how much our friendship means to you.
I'm very sorry about that. But no, you were a killer guest for – you did our live episode, Elizabeth Knapp.
Yes.
And then we brought you back for – who was the first time we
Winchester,
brought you?
Winchester, right?
Yeah.
Sarah Winchester and the Mystery House.
Sarah Winchester.
But was that your last one you did with us?
I think so.
Those numbers are picking up heavy, by the way, too, for Sarah Winchester. I think people have a renewed interest in her because, you know, it's almost Halloween
time. They found that
room
again.
Yeah. Well, the room popped up, like you said, and then also the movie that was made
better.
Oh, no.
Another one.
Really?
Recently.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I think we have to go there, though, actually.
There we go.
And do it. Alive. Losers live from the Winchester house.
I have dreams. I have dreams. We're going to make something
well,
cool
I have
happen.
Points That's on United, so we can make shit happen.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
There we go.
Do one live on that bridge.
Well, quick question for you, Jackie. Do you,
yeah.
You're, okay, so short for Jacqueline, right?
Yes.
Okay, are you named after anybody?
Jackie O.
Mm-hmm. Who was a what?
A first lady.
Oh, I thought you were going to say smoke show, but okay.
Oh, smoke show. I'm just trying to segue into our topic today.
Well, she was both of those.
That's my,
well, I was going to say
kidding.
She's not wrong.
A trendsetter.
Beyond.
Absolutely, yeah.
Also true. And not for nothing, you know, we taught my father the word smoke show, and he's just using it left and right. There's two words we've taught him.
How can you not when you got Jackie in the house? I mean, there's a smoke show sitting in front of me right now.
Oh, Jesus.
God. I'm pregnant. Thank you, everybody. Gotta go, losers. My bad.
She is genuinely blushing, people.
No, I know. It's so bad. I gotta go like this. I'm looking at KP now.
It's important to me, too, for the listeners at home, that Jackie's husband, Jay, is a good friend of mine.
So. But how good of a friend.
Well, we're going to talk today about a particular first lady, okay? Because it's that's an important position. I never, you know, sometimes, you know, we always look at it as like a queen of America kind of a thing. There's different kind of spins on. So Jackie O, probably the most, the first modern first lady, right? That's fair to say?
Totally.
I thought she had some cool stuff here.
Well, actually, today's topic, or loser, was the original first lady. That was she was the first lady to be given that that handle, that coined that that.
Oh, is that true? She was the first one that was actually called first lady.
First lady.
So we should probably get her name out there.
Yeah, I think it's about right about now. A little drum roll.
Who's this week's American loser?
We're going to talk about a most unfortunate first lady, Mrs. Mary Todd Lincoln.
Okay.
All right, Kahuna. Kahuna, easy one for you here. All right, easy two-pointer.
Okay.
Want to guess who she was married to?
Oh, I know this one. John F. Kennedy.
Probably. Yeah, that's not too far out of the realm of reason.
Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
That's it.
Well, she has a nice little cameo in that one, too. Now, not for that, we covered this in one of the previous episodes, Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
He's born like less than 100 miles away from Abe Lincoln in Kentucky.
Right.
Also within that same kind of distance, Mary Todd Lincoln is born in Kentucky.
Correct.
So the hip and happening progressive state of Kentucky is just emerging all these these very strong and vocal personalities here.
True.
It's the magic of the Bourbon Trail.
That's it.
That's where LP was. That's how we started digging up all these shit.
I had to do some historical research on that. I had to go down in Kentucky and see a few of the relatives, Uncle Jim Beam and a few of the
And I still want to know.
Oh, hilarious.
I still want to know how Mike Zapsik, of one of the co-owners of this studio, is a Kentucky colonel and yet is also, I believe, in recovery.
Wasn't he your engineer last week?
He was, and I wanted to ask him, but it was just like one of those things where, like, do I ask him or is he going to talk about, like, the incident? We don't talk about the incident.
The incident, yeah.
But
oh my God!
So that's an interesting. So down in Kentucky, pretty cool place. You had a good time while you were out there, right?
Absolutely.
So, have you ever been, Jack?
No.
No. All right. For some reason, Kentucky's on my list. I don't know why, but it is. I'm a big Ron Paul guy. That's probably a lot to do with it. But
hey, Kentucky.
Really,
Derby,
it's Rand.
Bourbon,
Rand Paul was the Kentucky guy.
Memphis music. You got it all in Kentucky. Well, Memphis is actually Tennessee. So my bad on that one.
It's okay.
But I mean, it's not just
Lexington
far,
and Louisville.
It's one of those things where it's like Cincinnati, you forget it's part of Ohio sometimes.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
you just forget about Ohio, really.
It's also
no
true.
Offense, listeners from Ohio. But
we do have some. Also, greetings to our listeners in South Africa. I wanted to say thank you for listening to the show. And hopefully you have, hopefully we're teaching you something over there in the bottom of that continent.
A little different spin on things.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with all that just yet. But here's something interesting. So the Todds... that's her family because she
Mary Todd.
Didn't become – yeah, mm-hmm. That was her last name, Mary Todd. They were a very wealthy family in Lexington. And Mary's father, Robert, was a banker. I mean, who doesn't want to marry a banker, right, Jack? Let's
talk
be honest.
To me.
Mm-hmm. And her mother, Eliza, was a point guard for the WNBA.
I don't know why that got me so that's good.
Now, obviously, one of those statements is facetious, but – Mary's family was large. She was the fourth of seven children.
Ooh.
All right? I won't put you on the spot here, Jay Byrne. All right? A lot of people are pressuring you because you're still – you still consider it a newlywed, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so two
– well, we're going on 2 years.
Yeah, because I was sober when you guys got married. And, I've relapsed twice since then. So. So, all right, there's pressure on this one. Do you think you're going to have one kid or seven?
Oh, well, definitely one over seven. I'm not a Duggar. I'm not doing that shit.
Aren't they from Kentucky?
I don't know, maybe. But I'm also getting old, too. Like, I can't pop out seven.
I reject that premise.
It's true.
Absolutely.
It's true, I promise.
Well, they had more kids back in the day. We unfortunately talked about because of a high mortality rate, too, which is where this story starts to get dark.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
totally. Now, Mary's family's huge. She is the fourth of seven children, like I said. She's very close with her mother. Until her mother tragically dies while giving birth to her seventh child. All right? So if you're going to have six, that's okay. But seven?
Right.
That's a little too much.
And the mom dies in childbirth.
Terrible. Yeah. Yeah, brutal. Not the way you want to go.
Why is six afraid of seven? Seven killed mom.
Oh, Kahuna.
Kahuna.
Not,
wow. Let's rewind to third grade. And seven, eight, nine.
I think you got to mute his mic now. No,
I'll mute myself. So as I was saying, it's so good to see y'all.
Nick, have you ever been an audio engineer for a podcast before?
Well, actually.
So she does die, unfortunately, and Mary's only seven at the time. Now, this begins to mark the history of tragedies that she's going to wind up falling victim to throughout her life. So it's 1823. And the family begins residing in a now historical landmark, the Mary Todd Lincoln House, which I don't know, Jackie, do you feel like you'd be able to make something work in an elegant 14-room estate in Lexington, Kentucky?
You bet.
Each room would have a different theme?
Obviously.
Yeah, really.
Why are you even asking me this? Why are you asking me these questions? Yeah.
And Daddy was definitely big bucks, and Daddy Todd was one of the founding fathers of Lexington, if you will. I mean, he made shit happen with the banking and everything else. So he was a big wheel in Lexington, Kentucky.
Not a bad guy to be a family member of here.
No.
Now, that entire family, by the way, Todd family, they're very well thought of here. But unfortunately, as we're covering on a lot of this stuff here, the Todd family owned slaves. Mm. Okay. Now, it's weird because Kentucky is considered a border state at the time. So obviously the issues are going to continue to, you know, come to a height, if you will, during Mary Todd's, you know, life, if you will, because of the whole Civil War thing that's going to go on here. But you got slave states and you got abolition states. And her family, because they're a border state in Kentucky, they happen to own slaves. Now, they don't own – it's not a plantation kind of a setup. They have, like, you know, it's kind of like house servants type of a thing. But they're also very highly educated, which I thought was interesting here. They're big on education in the Todd family. Mary's family, they were all proud Whigs. Dad, do you know what the Whigs are?
A political party that initially, I think, was favoring more towards the southern slave states.
Oh, see, I thought it was a girl that marries a gay guy so he can – that's a beard. I'm sorry. I had that wrong. The terminology is just off.
Yeah, okay, but so you're putting that modern-day parlance into 1850s.
Yes, we need to get back to the zeitgeist.
There you go.
So here's the interesting thing with the Whigs that I found out here. Whigs were founded as a movement against the Jacksonian Democrats. Kahuna, do you want to guess who the Jacksonian in the Democrats, who are they referring to? Which president?
Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Michael or Tito?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to say Tito.
Andrew Jackson.
No one gives any love to Tito.
Yeah, it's old Andrew Jackson, who is known as Old Hickory. He will be a loser of his own right in another episode because I happen to live in a city named after him for 6 years. I thought he was interesting too because this kind of party here, the Whigs that formed against him, they named themselves the Whigs because they took the name from an English anti-monarchical. Monarchial.
Yeah, there you go. Monarch.
Yeah.
Negative monarch.
We got to do these on Sundays and not after work on Tuesdays.
You're feeling it.
Yeah. But anyway, they decided that they stole this name from this party over in England that was against the monarchy, if you will. And the reason why they chose this name was as an insult to Andrew Jackson, who they said was a president that behaved like an emperor. Mm. So Jackson was real big. He was a little bit of a tyrant, okay? Yeah. The more you know how sometimes you read about somebody and then you hear a bad part of the revisionist history about the person, you're like, well, I don't know if they were really that bad. And then you go into it and you find kind of a middle ground. Jackson's not really much of a middle ground guy.
Yeah, it was his way or the highway.
So these Whigs were kind of standing up to him, too. Now, the problem was that the Whigs got labeled as, like, the top 1%. So we always talk about how politics is cyclical. So they're always talking about the 1% and all these people. So the Whigs are those kind of people because it's – in order, you don't have to be rich to be a Whig, but all the rich people are Whigs. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, and Daddy Todd was definitely one of those rich people, and mm-hmm. definitely the whole family were Whigs.
Well, other famous Whigs included Millard Fillmore, Winfield Scott, William Henry Harrison, and Eric Tartaglione. That's a little inside joke for Jackie.
My God, that is so bad.
A hilarious comedian friend of ours who has a hairpiece. So, throwing that one in there. But like we said, Mary's mother's death was very hard on her. But when her father remarried a year later to Elizabeth.
That's money for you. Let me tell you something.
Yeah. To remarry?
Bounce back that fast.
Well, less than a year, right?
Yeah.
Now, I saw a very funny meme the other day, Jackie. I'm not putting you on the spot here, but says it was a picture of the evil stepmother from Cinderella.
Uh-huh.
And it said, what I think of when I heard stepmother as a child. And then it showed Brandy Love on the bottom. And it said, what I think of when I hear stepmom now. So
I love that.
Yeah, a little bit of a shocker there.
Beautiful.
On that one. But gets married right away to Elizabeth Betsy Humphreys. And her relationship with her stepmother was always troubled, right, Dad?
Yeah, she didn't really get along too well. And you got to understand, too, that Mary was kind of like doted over and everything else. She was the youngest prior to her mom dying. And now her mother dies in childbirth. Her father remarries a year later, and they go on to have
Nine, I have. Nine
eight
kids.
Eight or nine kids themselves.
He's a busy boy.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have television. They didn't have kids.
Nine and counting.
Obviously.
They got 14 rooms.
Nine and counting, a telegram show.
Right, they're filling them up. Bunk beds and filling them up.
This week with the Todds, stop.
Filling them up, that is everything.
That's right, filling up those bedrooms. But yeah, and now she's no longer like... The main top priority, especially with the stepmother, and you know the stepmother's dealing with the other kids from the first marriage, plus now her own kids.
So what you're saying is that she's most likely to have something end up to happen to her, kind of like what happened to Kevin in Home Alone. Am I wrong?
Like very
left behind, like always not really talked to, like just kind of gets left behind.
Unfortunately, it's not as adventurous as your version. What happens to Mary Todd is a thing called boarding school, motherfucker.
Right.
Rather than dealing with you, we're going to ship you out. Now, she did get an outstanding education because of that. I mean, far beyond what would be typical of the day, especially for a female.
Sure.
So she was highly educated, but at the same time, you got to think.
Still pack your shit and get out.
Yeah, maybe stepmom is saying although we do have 14 rooms, we need a little more space around here. So Mary, you're out.
Now part of her.
How old was she?
She's of school age for this here part right now. But the one thing I did want to make sure we got out though is that what was peculiar for her at the time was. We talk about women not getting educated back in the day, but that's because they couldn't afford some of the schooling and stuff like that. So money's not an option. Like, there's no issue with that with the Todd family. So she gets actually sent to a girls' boarding school operated by Charlotte Mentel, which, I mean, that name should tell you we're dealing with some French people here, right, a little bit, where she actually winds up learning how to read and write in French, and they establish a very strong grip on politics. So Mary develops a reputation for being witty and gregarious, which is – actually, that was the original copy on Jackie Byrne's comedy business card. Which, Jackie Byrne, witty and gregarious.
Amazing. So, me and Mary Todd. Hopefully we don't have the same fate, though.
No. Although Jay would make a handsome Abe Lincoln. Let's be honest. I'm picturing it now.
Yeah, well, you know, because he's so tall. Yeah, absolutely.
Chin strap beards, though. Come on, work with me.
No, thank you.
But she's got a strong grip on politics, and she's got a good reputation. She's clearly an intelligent woman here. Now, her intelligence is duly noted and appreciated by male quarters.
And also noted by a lot of the politicos. I mean, because Daddy was so connected with the Whigs, and you got all the outstanding leaders of the Whig Party coming to their house, and, you know. Mary Todd is there to meet and greet with a lot of these politicos, Henry Clay and a few of the others that, you know, and they're all commenting about, you know, how smart and witty and politically in the know that she is. And you're talking again for the times, women weren't supposed to be involved with politics, you know, just get out in that kitchen and rattle them pots and pans and take care of the kids, and that's about it.
But when you're speaking French and you're eons ahead of a lot of other people, at the time, especially out in Kentucky, I imagine that the Tinder app is not doing well for her out there. You know, when she's greeting the men in French and they're just sitting there like, well, we're making bourbon if you want to come by.
Corn squeezings.
We play both kinds of music, country and Western. So,
I love it.
Now, Kahuna brought up a picture of Mary Todd here, and it's weird because you can't quite tell if she's cute or not. I feel like in her younger years she might have been cute, but then as she gets a little bit older, there's
I had found some research that
she was described as cute.
As young, she was pretty good looking, and in modern day parlance, had a nice rack.
My gosh. Okay. Yeah. Earmuffs.
Yeah,
out of all the people I expected to say that today.
Like, yeah. I'm trying to be hip, guys.
You gotta keep it real.
Yeah, really. Work with me here. Come on.
He throws some good shots out every now and then. But I did think
well-rounded. How's that?
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. I'm into it.
That's how we would say it. She's quite popular with the boys out there, as we're talking about. Now, also, one thing I want to note real quickly. Jackie Byrne, if you want to know how to be a professional podcast guest, take notes from Jackie Byrne, all right? She brings notes, all right? So all you people begging me to be on the show, Ken Krantz, you want to come on the show so bad?
Write Fuck some... you, Ken Krantz, okay? I'm here to stay.
No more room for guests now. That's it's just it. Jackie That's every it. Episode.
No, we've got some great people that want to come on the show, but I know
I
they're just going to show
by
up
the way.
And they're just going to show up and be like, all right, so what are we talking? And then like, this is gay halfway through my own show. But here's where it gets interesting. There's a loser within the loser this week, Kahuna. This is Loserception.
Ooh. Is this a first?
No, because the original Loserception is what I believe to be your favorite episode of the show, which was James A. Garfield.
That's
and
right.
Charles J. Gatteau.
That's right.
Oh, I actually loved that episode.
We discovered.
This is the sequel.
It's a great episode. Perfect.
My jaw was on the ground. That was technically, it shows up as our first episode, but really it's the second episode we recorded, The Forgotten Assassinated President, one of my favorites, with Cousin Kelly, who wants to come back on as well. And it's more than welcome, because she also
takes notes.
See, look at
brings
that.
Notes.
There's a pattern emerging.
That's right.
Notes and great guests.
It's true. It's easy to talk to people, too, man. That's what we try to do here. But now what I thought was interesting is that here's where the loserception comes in. There's a man, a successful young lawyer, that starts to notice Mary and is fond of her looks and fond of her family name and her personality. A successful young lawyer is going to be courting Mary Todd. Want to guess who that might be, Kahuna?
Is it Lincoln at this point?
Unfortunately, it is not Abe Lincoln.
Not just yet.
I was like, listen, the gears were turning in my head. I was like, there's no way. It's too early. It's too early in the game.
It is Lincoln's nemesis, Stephen A. Douglas.
Okay.
Okay, which every time when I was writing this last night at like 1 o'clock in the morning, I kept writing Stephen A. Smith from First Take on ESPN. And it is not a basketball analyst from Brooklyn. The point I'm trying to make here is Stephen A. Douglas would have been a fine match for Mary Todd, but here's the problem. He is a rising star of the Democratic Party,
right,
who are the total adversaries of the Whigs, okay? So it's not really going to go good. She's not really into him. She's not rebuking him, per se, but her heart already belongs to another rising star lawyer.
Yeah, and it was a number of people that Politico. Were looking to spark with Mary there, but Douglas was one, and then along came our boy.
Jackie, I can't believe it. I have to ask you this because unfortunately you're the only female perspective we can get on this episode.
Right, here we go.
Am I realizing now, is it really because Abe Lincoln represented a similar political alignment to her family or that she could spot greatness in him? Or was it because Abe Lincoln was tall and she could wear whatever kind of shoes she wanted?
That's what I'm thinking. Because she was 5'2". She was a little munchkin.
Right. She's
he could get the stuff on top of the fridge. You know what I mean?
That's right. Kill the spiders
like
up close to the ceiling.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know? Open up that pickle jar for me, Abe.
Yeah, she's 5'2", and he's 6'4".
That's what
that
I'm
broke
saying.
My heart. Because right. My dream celebrity is Elle McPherson, and I realized that it would never work because she would want to wear her shoes, and I'm
who cares?
I'm
you wear
five,
your shoes.
I'm 5'8", though.
You're fine.
She would have to carry me in a baby Bjorn.
Yeah, you're a little backpack, a little
all right.
We make it work.
But poor Stephen A. Douglas, he has now lost the apple of his eye, if you will, to a guy by the name of Abraham motherfucking Lincoln.
That's
all right.
It.
And motherfucking, that's not, we're not being hyperbolic here. That is his middle name. So.
Just like Teddy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, poor Stephen A. Douglas, luckily, he happens to get his revenge and he proves his worth to Mary Todd by besting Abe, or the man that she chose over him, in a series of fiery debates known as the Lincoln-Douglas debates. LP, what do you know about that off the top of your head?
Those were two opposing viewpoints on the whole slavery issue, although Douglas never really came out and said he's
a funky cat.
He's a really good politician because he can go on and really get you all roused up and let you hear what you want to hear, but he never really comes right out and says it, nothing definite. That was not just one debate. There was a series of Lincoln-Douglas debates.
There's seven total, one for each of the congressional districts.
At the time now, things are really heating up throughout the country with the whole slave state, free state debate as to whether we're going to continue on with allowing additional states to come into the union that are going to be with slavery or, it was more than just a political debate. It was people already really getting fired up over this.
The line I heard that I thought was interesting was the battle for the nation is being fought in Illinois when they were talking about the coverage for the debates here. So this is like hot shit at the time.
Right. But, a microcosm of – and even Kentucky itself. I mean, Kentucky – when the war did finally break out, Kentucky was considered a border state. It wasn't really aligned with the Union. It wasn't really right. aligned with the Confederacy. And there was a huge contingent on both sides in Kentucky. But we'll talk about that down the road a little bit.
Well, there's a couple of funny things here. Now, in these debates, Lincoln coins one of his greatest terms ever. I don't think you'll get it right off the top of your head, Jackie, but it was you've definitely heard this quote before.
Yeah.
So Lincoln throws this little gem out there. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Mm.
Yeah, kind of a pretty good line. So he's got that one. And then Stephen A. Douglas counters with his famous line, only in America.
Not the same.
No, we're just going to wait. We're just going to wait.
Yeah.
That's when you know the kahuna tuned out, when you throw in a nice boxing reference for him. He's just like, oh, look, puppets.
That's right.
Go fuck yourself. Listen.
Now, would there be buyer's remorse, Jackie, if you're Mary Todd and then your husband that you chose over the guy who wanted to be your husband and then the wannabe husband that you chose against beats this guy for a Senate seat and in the debates?
I mean, I think that probably not.
She was a pretty loyal lady.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like she knew something was going to come of little Abe. It was just going to take a little bit.
That's right.
Well, Douglas would win the election narrowly. He keeps his seat over in Congress. Lincoln's speeches, I thought this was interesting, that we talk about fake news kind of in the modern sense, but fake news has been around since the start of news.
Right.
It's just different names.
Yeah, so what they did for this that made me laugh was that if you were a pro-Douglas paper, which, by the way, my dad made a great point, you never know where Douglas really is on the slavery issue. He's arguing that it should be settled on the state level.
State, yeah.
So he's anti-federal government now, which is the hallmark of being a Jacksonian Democrat, is that the local government should be handling things. So.
Right. Let the people decide, or the locals decide, as to which way they want to go with all issues.
Mm. Right.
But again, if I'm a slave owner, I'm reading that as like, that's right. I've got to make the decision as to whether I should have slaves or not having the central government tell
me. And then even within the slaveholding, kind of alliance, if you will, there was different ideas on how slavery should be interpreted. And then there was also the ideas that on the abolitionist side, there's, well, why are we against slavery? And was it because of the way the government into it? Was it because of a biblical thing? Was it the John Brown?
Is it human rights or
why
is it states' rights or government rights? I mean, and that whole argument went back right to the Declaration of Independence. So, I mean,
what Lincoln is
founding. That was an issue.
Lincoln's big on that one because you're saying that our founding document is not accurate. So, thought this was interesting though. If you were a pro Douglas paper, they were misprinting Lincoln's speeches in order to make him seem more of a demagogue. And then also same thing back and forth for if you were pro-Lincoln, that they were kind of lambasting Stephen A. Douglas. Now, Stephen A. Douglas, if you bring up a picture of him, Kahuna.
I want to see him.
If you see his – he has the piercing eyes. He's got like Rasputin eyes where they just kind of stare through you.
I'm not into it.
Nope. He looks like
– got the same mole on the cheek that Abe did though. I mean, maybe Mary Todd was into that,
Yeah, just he's only lacking facial hair. That was the only thing he's missing on that one.
That forehead is probably the size of the state of Illinois.
Hey, you're talking to a room full of Irish people right now.
Included. I told you this.
I know. I forget what part of Ireland your family's from. But now Douglas goes on to win the election like we talked about here. But Lincoln takes all of his speeches because he's angry that he's been misquoted in a lot of these. He puts together all the speeches and it comes out. They're collected and printed out as a book. And the book is a massive success. This further propels Lincoln to run for presidency just a few years later. Okay.
Yeah, he's now getting national notoriety. It's not just.
Oh, yeah.
I mispronounced that once again. Sorry, Sandy. My wife is going to.
Which, you get notoriety wrong?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Notoriety.
Oh.
Instead of notoriety.
Where is she?
That's Sandy Burke. She is down in Virginia right now with her fantasy family. Cousin Pammy and her nieces. So,
but yeah, I mean, now more than just the people of Illinois are learning about Mr. Lincoln and you know, with the whole Lincoln Douglas debates, and he's now publishing his speeches as they were written, not as some newspaper misinterpreted it.
So he's on the national scene now.
Sure is.
Yep. So nevertheless, at age 23, Mary Todd becomes Mary Todd Lincoln by marrying Abe. She just goes by Mary Lincoln, by the way, for the rest of her life. We just throw the Todd in because, let's be honest, it's fun to say.
it's got a better ring to it, I think.
Right. I would agree,
Mary
actually.
Yeah. Mary Lincoln is like nobody.
Todd Lincoln.
Right.
Mary Todd Lincoln. You're like, that bitch got money.
Gives it a little, gives it a little edge.
That's what I'm saying.
Two well-known families from Kentucky. That's not bad right there. So there's also a Mary Tyler Moore thing that for some reason pops in my head. I just picture...
that could work.
Yeah, I just picture Mary Todd throwing her hat up into the air, and then in the background you just see John Wilkes Booth freezing.
Oh, God.
We'll get to that here in a minute.
So dark.
At age 23, they get married. The two were married November 4th, 1842. We know anybody who was born on November 4th, LP?
Yeah, I know some people that were born on November 4th.
It's also 1842,
right? 1842, exactly.
Their first child is born in 1843. They don't waste any time, Jay Byrne.
9 months later, by the way.
Really?
Yep. Yes, I have a note saying that their wedding was not quite proper.
Oh.
So I think Lincoln hit it. hit it before.
Got a preview.
got a preview, all right.
Honest Abe, I have strong swimmers, Mary.
That's it, exactly.
We're going to need to get to the church.
Seriously. That's what I like to do. That's my research. I like to know the
math.
Past of my presidents.
I shouldn't have done this one time, but as you guys know, if you're regular listeners or if you're my family, which are my regular listeners, I once did the research just to try to figure out when I would have been conceived. And, I'm born September 11th, and I realized it was probably a winter break from school.
It's beautiful.
It is what it is, right? I didn't have cable back then. But they go ahead. They have the first of their four children. The first child is born in 1843. His name is Robert Todd Lincoln. Mary and Abe have four sons in total. All will be born in Springfield, Illinois. Their names are Robert Todd, Eddie, Willie, and Tad. That sounds like dog names nowadays. I'm just saying. I mean, my own dog is named Eddie. Here's the sad.
Yeah, well, Tad was actually Thomas.
Yeah.
Tad was a nickname.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Tad was the nickname. But here's the sad part is that of all of the sons, only Robert Todd will actually outlive his mother, Mary Todd.
Right.
So a lot of bad shit happens to the Lincoln family.
Damn.
So,
yeah, poor Mary.
Stephen A. Douglas, he may have beaten Lincoln in the elections following the debates, but old Honest Abe is what we'd call a hot commodity now. And after a successful stint as a member of the House of Representatives, Lincoln finds himself as the Republican, brand new party emerging, by the way, from the Whigs. Greatly.
Not Whigs, not Democrats.
Yeah, it's because the Whigs even split into cotton Whigs and abolitionist Whigs, too, which gets all wacky. But Lincoln finds himself as the Republican nominee for the presidency. And here's the funny part. The Whigs split, right? But the Democrats are also largely split due to their mixed feelings on slavery and the continuation of the Union. Should we break into city states? Should we break into two separate nations?
Right.
All this other. So now against Lincoln, the southern states and the Democrats couldn't agree on a candidate. So Lincoln, now running for president as a Republican, has to face off against John Breckinridge. Make fun of that. Like, people want to rip on the Democrats right now for running like 20 nominees or whatever. But this is what happened to them back in the day here. They run John Breckinridge, John Bell. And you want to take a guess as to who the last person was, Jackie Byrne?
Jefferson Davis?
The candidates.
No.
That would be hilarious, though.
Oh, I have no idea.
Stephen
I got nothing.
A. Douglas.
Oh, Stevie's back.
Stevie's back in the game now. So now he's sitting there. He has a chance to foil, to foil Abe Lincoln's plans yet again. But by carrying the entire North, Abraham Lincoln is now the 16th president of the United States.
Ooh.
And Mary Todd is now the first person to be known as the First Lady. So
take that, Stevie.
Exactly. She goes, we lost the Senate seat, but I guess we'll just have to settle for the presidency.
right.
So Lincoln is inaugurated in March. Now, this is where Lincoln's life is incredible. Lincoln is inaugurated in March, and the Civil War begins that April.
Unbelievable.
So, our boy's
that was
busy.
Pretty much set for the South. That's what tore it. I mean, for Lincoln to come out and say that he's anti-slavery, and now he's elected president. They were like, that's it. We're done. Minds. We're out of here because states' rights is going to reign supreme, and that gives us the right to secede from the Union because we don't get along with you guys.
That's why he's always funny, too, because he used federal power to force his will on the states, but he's also the father, in a sense, of the Republican Party, which is all. So there's a lot of the dichotomy of the times is always interesting.
I think what's interesting, too, is that he is now president-elect, and there's a train trip, if you will, planned out to take him through the North and then down through Baltimore and into Washington, D.C. for his inauguration. And that's when it first becomes apparent that there's a suspicion that he's going to be assassinated on his way to Washington.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, yeah. There was many different assassination attempts of Lincoln.
Interesting.
And so now you got to, you know, put you in Mary's mindset, too, that, you know, my husband was just elected president of the United States. I'm going to be first lady, but you're telling me that he's probably going to be, you know, there's an attempt on his life before he even becomes president.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and there was a whole big hullabaloo about him sneaking into Washington for his inauguration because he came into Washington at night because at the time the railroads weren't linking up, but Baltimore was key. That was one of the reasons why Lincoln, as soon as he became president and the Civil War started, that we got to make sure that we get Baltimore into the Union because it was such a strategic area. Mm. And that whole state was equally divided between slave and abolitionists. But anyhow, in Baltimore, you couldn't just take a direct route. You had to actually have the railroad cars come off the track and go down the street with horse-drawn railroad cars before they could be placed onto the new track that would take you the final leg into Washington.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
I mean, it's wacky. So now they were...
So it's like taxiing for a airplane.
All of this was pre-announced in the newspapers, and you'll be able to see Lincoln here, you know, through New Jersey, all the way down into Baltimore, where he's going to have to change trains and everything else. So if you're planning to kill the guy, I mean,
you got opportunities.
You got his whole itinerary laid out in front of you in the newspaper. Bad.
Now, just a little side note here too. At this time, no president has been assassinated.
No,
and it's never happened.
That was a total dishonorable way of going about things. I mean, you might disagree with the guy, but
you don't
assassinate him.
Right. Now, nobody successfully had assassinated a president, but there were attempts in the past. One of the attempts was on Andrew Jackson himself, who then chased the assassin beat the shit out of him.
Right.
So, different times back then, we'll
different
put it
times.
Right.
So, now, as First Lady, now, Jay Byrne, you and me, we both do comedy in New Jersey, and then sometimes we have to do comedy in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, okay? But there's a transit. We don't change, but in the car ride, where when our geographical location changes, all of a sudden we're perceived differently.
Sure.
So, you proudly wear the badge of Jersey Girl when you're in New York City. I've seen you do it.
I do.
And I wish I had that confidence there. Because my thing is, I get over there and I just realize I was like, you know, I wasn't this ugly like 4 miles ago. You know? Because I'm okay in Jersey. And then I get over to New York City and I was like, man, I haven't seen one girl that's not a model in like 10 minutes. You know,
really? See, they look like farmers to me.
Really?
Yeah, they're all like hipsters.
Oh, it depends on what part. You're absolutely right on that one. You know what it is?
Everyone's gender neutral when I get to the city. I don't know. I'm the only one wearing like hot pink and leopard, so I'm just like, I'm a fucking dime here.
Well played, Jackie. Well played.
Sorry. No offense, girls, but.
No. You know what it is? It's Mary.
I don't think it's the same. They don't care as much. I think Jersey's flashier.
There's definitely it's a different style too, because I couldn't explain it. But down in Florida, I was just like, why is nobody? I haven't seen one leopard print anything.
Why is nobody trying? Yeah, no one's playing.
No one's hair is big. What's the deal?
Right.
But imagine this: is that Mary, who saw herself as like kind of high society over in Kentucky, has been labeled as a Westerner as a first lady now.
Right.
So now
she's
has to
look down upon as like she's. Yeah. Rough around the edges, uncouth, and
she's got to mingle with the East Coast elite now.
Ooh.
Oh, yes, yeah. Excellent. Her critics cited her bad manners and found her ill-suited for the role of First Lady because she couldn't navigate high society feuds and engagements. She was also highly vilified for going over the budget on a refurbishment of the White House.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Do you know anything about this?
I just know that she spent a lot of money during a time that the country did not have a lot of money.
Yeah, you're trying to fight a war. Meanwhile, the First Lady is redecorating the White House.
She's got more than 14 rooms. You know what I mean?
Congress had to have two separate votes to allow two larger appropriations to cover the bill for that. And Lincoln's just like, I don't know what she's doing, guys. Yeah. All right. She's breaking my balls. But pissed off Abe pretty bad. That's like one of the only times you ever see him actually be critical of Mary Todd, because otherwise they're a pretty happy couple. They loved each other. But she's getting criticized left and right here. Now, unfortunately, Mary and Abe had already lost a child. Their son Eddie had passed away at age 6.
Okay? I think it was 3, but...
3?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I have my numbers wrong.
He didn't make his 4th birthday.
Yeah, I have that. He died a month before his 4th birthday.
Okay, I had the my shit's wrong then. All right, fucking Wikipedia. Mary's time at the White House was often unhappy and tragic. She also suffered, we found this one out, this was wild. She suffered a head injury in a carriage accident that was, what was it, bringing her back to the White House, right?
Yeah, that was, you know, a lot of people think of the White House as the White House, and they did absolutely spend time there. But at the time, Washington is a hole. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, President Trump said about draining the swamp. Well, it truly was a swamp. That a lot of the areas that we know as Washington D.C. was swampland that had to be drained. The whole mall area, where now where the Lincoln Memorial and all that kind of stuff is now, that was nothing but swampland. That was a big to do over that. But anyhow,
Kahuna, do you want to guess, by the way, where a lot of the presidents would spend their summers? So they could get out of the swamp in D.C.?
I don't even want to take a gander. What is it?
President Grant, right, Dad? Stop me when I'm wrong here. President Grant declared Long Branch, New Jersey, the summer capital of the United States.
Yeah, that's true. That's
what?
That's There's right. a Jersey connection for this particular
that's
episode.
Hilarious.
Because Washington, D.C. in the summertime is not a pleasant place to be. And back then, in 1861, that was even worse because it was really surrounded by swampland. So, you know, it smelled. Just a short distance behind the White House was an open canal that was treated as an open cesspool, open sewage pit. So, and a lot of people commented about, you know, the fumes, the aromas were wafting through the windows of the White House. So if you could get out of Washington in the summertime, that was the move to make. And actually, Mary takes a short little vacation to get out of Dodge, get out of Washington D.C. in August.
Even after all those renovations,
yeah.
Damn.
Well, she was just
letting the paint dry. You know,
that must not have looked good.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, it's in August of 1861, so you got the August heat of 1861. The first land battle of the Civil War just took place at Bull Run. The Union gets the shit kicked out of them, and Mary decides that it's, quote, absolutely necessary to her health that she should enjoy a release from her arduous responsibilities in the more invigorating air of the seashore. And where does she go?
See, just because you worded fancy doesn't mean
it's
better.
It sounds good, right?
Yeah. But she chooses Long Branch, New Jersey to vacation. And Long Branch, New Jersey at that time was like one of the big three. Newport, Rhode Island, the seashore of Cape May, New Jersey, and then Long Branch. And as a matter of fact, even to this day, there's a park in the middle of Long Branch called the Seven Presidents Park.
And guess who died in Long Branch, New Jersey, Kahuna?
Well, one of our...
Who?
It goes back. Oh, see, he's not taking notes.
Yep.
He's not taking notes.
I just like it this way. Let's.
No, it all works. James A. Garfield. Remember he died?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he died in...
Yeah, he died in
Long Branch.
Long Branch, New Jersey.
Oh, no.
But
never mind. I'm good. This is too much for Big Kahuna today. This is crazy.
Grant, Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Harrison, McKinley, and Wilson all vacationed in Long
That's
Branch,
really
New
cool.
Jersey.
I didn't know
and,
that.
Of course, the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Obviously.
But that's why in the middle of Long Branch now is a Seven Presidents Park, because there was seven.
I like to picture all them standing at DJs online on Tiki Mondays or something like that.
Going for the ice cream and the
It's a
dogs.
Beach now. It's they moved it. It's the beach.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I love this shit.
Love. Now, unfortunately, because of that swamp over there, they do say that is one of the leading suspects, if you will, for why young Willie Lincoln dies at age 12 of typhoid fever. Right, Dad?
Yeah, that, you know, immediately. Actually, it was President Buchanan that suggested, hey, rather than spend the summers here in Washington, D.C., about 3 miles away, there's a place called the Old Soldiers Home. It was a private estate. It was a plantation just north of Washington. And then, so I forget who had the place built, but it was a palatial mansion with a number of different, what they called cottages, but these were like 32-room cottages.
Wow.
Like Newport, all the mansions in Newport, right. They called summer cottages. Well, it was the same kind of ilk, these Gothic, you know, architectural wonders, if you will. But they... The Lincolns take up residencies from like June through November at the old, what became known as the Old Soldiers Home, and then Abe would ride back and forth from the Old Soldiers Home to the White House for conducting business. But there was an incident where Mary's coming back into D.C. and she's thrown from the buckboard seat of the carriage that she's in, and it's speculated that that was another assassination or an attempt to capture Lincoln.
Oh, this wow. poor goddamn
but,
woman.
But poor Mary was the receiver then. Now, she's thrown from this carriage. Meanwhile, she's riding past, like, all the wounded and the army posts and everything else, because Washington is now surrounded with the army. But she's thrown from this, and she's not seriously injured, but she does take a shot to the back of the head that did require stitches. And again, there's some speculation that, you know, under the stress, and now, and she's always suffered from migraine headaches. So, and this is just
and
one more.
Two of her kids are dead now.
Bone. Right.
You know,
right.
Now, also in addition to this, by the way, the Todd family, like we talked about at the beginning of the episode, slaveholding family. All right. And they were all from a slaveholding border state. And while she was married to the commander-in-chief of the United States, Jackie, you know where we're going with this?
I think so.
Oh, man. Her, yeah, things aren't going so good for the rest of her family. Some of those half-brothers and sisters, her half-brothers, Sam and Alec Todd, are both killed during the Civil War, as well as her half-sister, who she was pretty close with. Her husband, a Confederate general, actually winds up dying. Now, LP, you told me something weird about that.
Yeah, now, of the 14, at the time of the Civil War, we're going to say 1861, there's 14 living Todd children. I guess six from his first marriage, and then eight from the second marriage.
Now, these are the kids that she got kicked to the curb over. You're talking from earlier, right?
Sort of, yeah. She grew up with them.
Well, her mother died, and with her mother, her natural mother, birth mother, died giving birth to child number seven. But then mama number two went on to, I think, have eight more kids.
Let's just put it this way. It was a shitload.
A lot of kids.
The more people you know, the more tragedy
can
befall you.
But of the 14 living Todd children, six of them sided with the Union, and eight of them sided with the Confederacy. Either by marriage. Yeah, so you talk about a nation divided or a house divided. And brother, you know, the Civil War sometimes is referred to as
divided against itself.
Yeah,
right.
Seriously.
You talk about you know, the Civil War being where brother is against brother. Well, this is truly
true.
Truly the situation.
Imagine Thanksgiving at that.
That's what I was thinking, the same thing.
Right. So now, what was her name? Ellie.
Yeah, we'll call her that for
her sister Ellie, her stepsister Ellie. Marries, and this guy goes on to become a Confederate general, and he dies at Chickamauga. So now her stepsister is now widowed, and from all reports, Emily she's a smoke show. She is absolutely a good-looking babe. She's now a young widow of 26 with three kids. and they make arrangements for her to come to the White House. Now, too, she's a Confederate. Abe makes arrangements for her to come to the White House to spend some time. Mary just suffered the loss of young Willie.
Mm-hmm. Who was the favorite, pretty
much. Who was the favorite, yeah. Right? So she just had an 11-year-old die. Her stepsister just had her husband killed. Her stepsister is now brought to Washington to stay in Washington. But what's interesting about that, it says that, you know, Lincoln made arrangements. Well, she refused to sign the Oath of Allegiance in order to come through the Union lines. She refused that. So she, but then Lincoln gave her like a special dispensation. Lincoln himself called her little sister. He was really, you know, liking her. And not because in an appropriate manner, but and felt sorry for her. I mean, can you imagine? Lincoln's got a pack of in-laws that are really giving him fits.
Yep.
And we'll just say that the Todd family was the absolutely the troublesome Todds, because there was a number of different instances, and some of the Todds were surgeons who mistreated Union. Union prisoners. There was one incident where one of the Todds was a warden of a Confederate prison, and he's kicking the dead corpse of a Union soldier out into the street. That doesn't make for good PR, you know.
Not really.
No.
Here you're supposed to be taking care of these guys, and he's kicking the corpse.
So. Yeah, it's a tough one on that. I do want to get into this real quickly here, because we have the abrupt left turn we have to get to on her life. The point is, there's a lot of tragedy befalling old Mary Todd. She's got her family she grew up with. A lot of them are fighting against the army that her husband is now in control of. Two of her children have now passed away. You know, she had the whole tragic death of her mother. She's got a nice head injury. She's also got some little cracks in the old mental clarity, Jackie Burton. Did you find anything else about her? What historians might think she had?
Bipolar.
Yeah, so.
Bipolar disorder.
She often had public outbursts, displayed a fierce temper, mood swings, overspending on things like jewelry, and her constant plaguing of migraines were all thought to be from possible grief over the death of her son, Willie. Now, Mary was bedridden and looked after by a nurse for 3 weeks following the death of Willie. She was unable to care for her youngest son, Tad, and also was unable to attend the funeral of Willie, that she was that just destroyed. I mean, Lincoln didn't know if he was getting her back at that point. Shortly after the death of Tad, Mary Todd becomes passionate about New Age spiritualism. Did you get into any of this, Jack?
No, I didn't. I'm fascinated.
This is the left turn here where...
I don't know, guys.
Cue the creepy music.
I'm having flashbacks.
I know. I'm having a little bit of flashbacks, too. Let's go.
So Kahuna's going to be sleeping with the lights on tonight in about 30 seconds.
All right, let's hear.
Let's do it.
She falls into this idea of New Age spiritualism and begins holding seances in the White House Red Room and also in the old soldiers' home.
In the old soldiers' home, their summer quarters, if you will, the summer White House.
Reportedly, on at least one occasion, Abe Lincoln was present for the seance here. So that leads us to the abrupt left turn question. Dad, what the fuck is spiritualism?
Spiritualism, pre-Civil War, there was a whole big movement, whole religious movement, if you will, that there was a second coming kind of a thing, or second revelation, that a lot of people were turning towards a more religious life. And there was a huge undertaking, if you will, in New York State, where that really went. The Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, really had their grassroots.
The Seventh-day Adventists, the Kelloggs, if you will, from a previous episode.
New York State was one of the hotbeds of this whole
the
Oneida rebirth.
Cult.
Right.
The Oneida cult,
going back
that's
to
right.
Kahuna's
Damn.
Favorite. Yeah, so it was a lot of different things, or a lot of different viewpoints are coming out, but there's girls by the name of the Fox Sisters. Actually, there was three sisters who are reported to be able to speak to spirits, speak to the other side, if you will, through wrappings. And actually,
now different wrappings than what your family's known for, Cordes.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah,
that wrapping hasn't come up.
It's like you really read my mind in that moment, because I was thinking, I was like, hip hop back then, how would that happen? I'm like, once upon a time in a nursery rhyme.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. knocking, rapping.
No, I know.
Okay.
Big Hoon is not that stupid.
But anyhow, these two sisters, and they're young, they're like 11 and 14, the Fox sisters, living with their parents, and they're hearing these knocking noises in the middle of the night, and they're attributing it to somebody
One,
that was
two,
murdered.
Freddy's coming local, for you.
Yeah, a local peddler was murdered and buried in the basement of their house. So they think that the house is haunted, and these sisters are communicating with them.
He was buried in the basement?
Well,
I know, isn't that weird?
Later there was
a whole other question in and of itself, but
yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, later there was excavations in the basement, and they did find bones and that kind of a thing. So there was, that whole thing is being drummed up.
Hey, excavation, shout out to all my boys over at Public Sewer. We're going to be digging a trench for people to shit in all next week.
Yeah.
If you dig up bones, I swear to God.
It's happened.
These Fox sisters make a big sensation, and they go on to start to have shows, if you will, that they're in lecture halls and stuff going on, and they're conjuring up the spirits in these darkened lecture halls with hundreds of people present and everything else, and they're hearing these knocking noises. And others key into that, and they start to become so-called mediums that they're able to communicate with not necessarily the dead, but with the spirits, the other world, if you will. There's like an in-between world here on Earth, and then what you might conjure up as heaven, that there's in-betweens spirits that are there. Well, anyhow, this whole spiritualism is really given birth due to what these Fox sisters are able to conjure up, and there's a lot of imitators to that, you know, now all of a sudden I'm a medium and I'm going to be able to speak to the dead. And
Jackie, have you ever gone to a medium? Or
I've not.
No? I always want to ask somebody, because I don't know how, but there's always a tarot card reading place in Jersey with the most expensive real estate. I don't understand it. There's so many of them, you know what I mean? It's got to be some hell of a business.
Yeah, they're making money. And I think...
Or they just knew when the market was going to tank.
Longing for that to be, who wouldn't want to speak to a dead relative? Kind
right,
of thing.
Especially during the Civil War.
See, so. It's weird with that stuff, because like my luck, I actually go to one that's actually legit, and then they're like, "Your dad's watching or some shit," and I'm like, "Ah, crap!" So
yeah.
Dad knows some shit now. So I'm going. So when I end up going up, he's like, "Yeah, remember that time? Remember that time back in like 2018? Yeah, I saw." Freaking asshole.
Dad wants to know who is Brandy Love.
Yeah, but anyhow, actually, predecessors, first lady's predecessors.
Correct, because Mary Todd's not the first to do
she's
this.
She's not the first it's to the have first a seance in the White House, but she's the first one who really makes it public knowledge that this is going on. But Jane Pierce, while her husband is on the way to be inaugurated, there's a train accident. The train rolls over. Jane Pierce and her husband survive, but the son is crushed. His head is crushed.
Oh, my God.
And she sees this. So, I mean, that really made Jane Pierce come undone. And she was always like, I'm such a bad mother. And she's desperately trying to apologize to her dead son that, you know, she wasn't a good mother. So she gets involved with these whole mediums, all the spiritualists. So she's big. It's not just, you know, isolated incidents. This is like the current thing going across the country, that there's a lot of people trying to reach
Steve
the
Jobs
other side.
Steve Jobs type shit, you know?
Yeah, there are a lot of people really trying to reach the other side. But Mary Todd does have a number of seances in the White House and is trying to speak to dead William was the favorite. And again, whether it's the power of suggestion or whatever, but she confides in her stepsister, who just lost his husband, right, the Confederate that just came, is now living in the White House, that she sees Willie every night at the foot of her bed. And sometimes she brings along the younger one that died when he was three.
Eddie. Sometimes Eddie will be there.
Sometimes Eddie's there as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot.
She's struggling.
Jane Pierce also used to, supposedly one of the mediums was able to contact her her dead son as well. There was a lot of conversation. So very creepy stuff here for the time. But Mary Todd, there are cracks like we're showing here. But Mary Todd served alongside her husband dutifully, though, and supported him endlessly. In happier moments, she also regularly, because she's not just, I don't want to paint this picture just a sad woman here. She's, on good days, she's visiting the wounded soldiers and she's helping them write letters to their families because a lot of them are illiterate. Yeah. So,
yeah, now, but see, she's seen horrific stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Her whole life is surrounded by
horrific stuff.
Yeah.
There's almost a Christ-like thing with Lincoln, too, where it's just the amount of suffering they have to go through, that we have to take Lincoln's life to preserve the land. I always read some cool shit about that. But bummer stuff here.
Seriously.
Like anything else, too, a lot of these mediums, they're hucksters.
Full of charlatans.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, we get into that towards the very end here. But she and her husband presided over the country during its most tenuous stretch. And after Abe won re-election in 1864, side note, want to guess who? You'll never guess it, Coon. I love you, but you'll never guess it. I barely knew it, to be honest with you. Fun fact about New Jersey. New Jersey is the only state that never voted for Lincoln in either election.
Really?
He did not win New Jersey either time.
Yep.
And the idea I found out is because it was big on the Jacksonian Democrats over here, which, you know, depending on how you feel about all that.
Right.
But the candidate in 1864 was, get this, Lincoln ran against one of his own sitting generals, George B. McClellan, whom he'd had a feud with, you know, during the war about, you know, different defensive strategies and stuff. But he also winds up being the future governor of New Jersey, George B. McClellan. So another Jersey tie-in here for you today.
Interesting.
McClellan was one of the early generals that Lincoln appointed as the head of the Army of the Potomac. And
a little too pragmatic.
And he had a change of heart because initially he was, we're going to capture Richmond and end this whole thing. But then when he started to see the horrors of war as it was fought at the time, that, you know, there was just way too much death going on, that he started to really ran on a peace. Let's just form a truce with these guys and end the hostilities. And what was interesting, the vast majority of the soldiers in the field didn't vote for McClellan to end it. They voted for Lincoln to continue on with the war.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why. That's fascinating.
Bad stuff on that one. Now we're going to fast forward just a little bit here because now the expectation is that now that Lincoln's been reelected, Robert E. Lee has just surrendered the Army of Northern Virginia, and that it's now expected that the rest of the Confederates are going to also lay down their arms. Lincoln can finally begin, for the first time in his presidency, to preside over a nation at peace.
Yeah, his big military nemesis was Robert E. Lee, and Lee just surrendered. And there still are other Confederate armies scattered around, but Lee was the first and the biggest to lay down arms.
And Abe comes over and he says, "Mary, we're going out tonight, baby." All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah.
Abe and Mary's plan is to attend a show.
Fucked up.
Do you know the name of the play, by the way?
Oh, I had it somewhere. Wait.
I figured you would.
Damn it. Hold on. Just say it. Forget it by the time I find it. I did read it.
Our American Cousin.
Yes.
It's held over at Ford's Theater. The information that he's going to be at the theater is leaked to the papers. I mean, Lincoln is – you just got reelected as president. There's the idea that maybe things are going to go back to normal here. Everything's going to be okay. Now, they're seated up in the balcony. And by the way, I found this
just
was –
just a little side note I want to throw in there.
Mary's headache?
No. I was going to say that Lincoln and Mary – Abe and Mary were going to go to the show, but he was also going to bring along –
Grant, right?
Grant.
That's what I have,
Grant
too.
Grant and his wife. And Grant said, no freaking way. I mean, I just, you know, he just rode from Appomattox to Washington 2 days ago. The signing at Appomattox only was 2 days ago. And actually, Lincoln's oldest son, Robert, just came back to Washington, D.C., because he was at the signing of the surrender.
Could you imagine if Ulysses S. Grant was able to beat the shit out of John Wilkes Booth? Yeah. I mean, that is your alternate.
Well, it would have
history.
Definitely affected the plan, I think, for yeah, sure. Think, yeah. Would have to gone through.
Mary had a headache or something.
Yeah.
Well, Mary had a headache, and she did not want to go.
Didn't want to go, right.
And Lincoln said, we have to go. The papers have announced that we have to show our face or whatever. So they go out there, and then she starts feeling better. They're sitting up in the balcony, and during the third act, Abe holds Mary's hand, mm-hmm. and the two draw a little bit closer. And then she's even saying, like, oh, what are they going to think of me doting so closely on you? And Lincoln goes, they won't think anything at all. And then John Wilkes Booth fucks up that little Hallmark moment.
Right. Comes in the back door. And
so, you know what I mean? Fucking actors.
Fucking actors, man.
Overdramatic.
Yeah, so now everything's pretty much ruined here. I don't want to waste a future episode on John Wilkes Booth. I think we all know who he was. He was a wild guy. His life makes no sense whatsoever. The biggest manhunt at the time in history is now right. going to be conducted hunting him down. But unfortunately, he is Abe Lincoln's assassin.
Just a little – I got to throw it in.
He's so excited.
He's like, you. He's like, please let me talk.
You know, Mary Todd had a number of spiritualists.
Good point.
Performing the seances in the White House. And it turns out that one of the spiritualists more than likely was a good drinking buddy of Wilkes Booth that,
Are you serious?
Yeah, that this one spiritualist, give me his name.
It's all good. You don't have to have a
guy. Cholchester.
Cholchester.
Right, yeah, all right. So, but this guy was a real character, very flamboyant. He was also a booze bag because, like, if you asked him, hey, you want to go out for drinks? He would stop in the middle of the street and put his hand on the lamppost and let me see what the spirits say. And let's go drinking. But he was, I believe he was in the same boarding house or frequented the same boarding house that John Wilkes Booth was seen in and out of. You know, so they hung out from time to time. In drinking.
Wow.
So.
There's also a weird story of, I don't remember the exact context, but I want to say that one of Lincoln's sons actually saved Booth's brother from a train accident or something like
just
that.
Just the other way around.
The other way, I'm sorry, I got that
brother,
wrong. Yeah.
Who was also an actor, saved Robert Todd from a train accident. Didn't know who he was.
Wow.
But Robert Todd is coming back from college and is stopping, another Jersey tie-in.
Are you serious?
Stopping in the Jersey City train station. And he's getting out of the train and he's on the platform and there's a whole throng of people and he's pushed back and his foot gets caught between the space between the train and the platform and would have been, pulled down into the
holy
train track.
Crap.
And Edward Booth? I can't remember Booth's brother.
It might
name.
Be, but
Ed Booth's brother grabs a hold of him, pulls him back up onto
the
platform and saves his life.
And true story, Robert Todd did not say thank you, and that's why karma got back to Abe.
Oh, my gosh.
To move forward here so we can just hit the later part of her life, because, I mean, Jay Byrne, if you have any notes you want to jump in with,
yell
at me on this
me.
Stuff.
Don't worry about me, I will.
I know that, but you did notes. I want to make sure we get to them.
No, you got them. We're doing them.
Abe unfortunately dies the next day. Mary is by his side when he passed. She'd previously been removed from the room due to becoming so unhinged with guilt. They were super tight. Like, I know she was a little bit of a batshit crazy woman, but these two loved each other.
Well,
man.
Tragedy would also bond you a little bit.
Excellent point.
Yeah, when you're holding the hand of your husband and he gets shot in the head and, you know, blood and brains are probably scattered on you.
Yeah.
Now,
Jackie O.
Yeah.
We're bringing it
absolutely.
Back. Seriously,
absolutely.
Same thing.
The similarities between the two are very creepy, by the way, for the assassination. We'll do something on that.
You should, because there's a lot of
cross links.
Yeah,
well,
of course.
Mary Todd will only wear black now for the remainder of her life, by the way. And
she had to sell all her ball gowns.
She did.
Devastating fact. For me, anyway.
The children and the husband can go, but not my shoes.
Not my fucking Halston ball gown.
There was a thing, too, though, that they were saying that as Lincoln died, his face, there was a calm that came over him. And you realize it's like, we gave this guy, like, it wasn't a nuclear war or anything like that. There is no button for him to push. But he his entire life was under the most stress I think any human being's ever been under.
Yeah. Seriously. So,
Lincoln, pretty remarkable guy there.
Stress not only from the office, but I mean the home life stress with kids dying, in-laws
yeah.
screwing up.
Yeah, seriously.
And,
yeah, it was a tough
son
of a bitch.
Your wife is not real well. And
now, unfortunately, this is where Mary Todd, she has a little bit of sympathy built up for a little while, and then she goes right back to being a laughing stock, where they don't really they find her zany and wacky and shit. Mary takes the remaining sons with her back to Chicago. Robert Todd is now becoming a rising star of a lawyer and would later go on to serve as the Secretary of War for James A. Garfield, where he was present at the assassination of James A. Garfield by the coward Charles J. Guiteau. Passed by a slim margin, Congress agrees to pay an annual pension of $3,000 a year. Jay Byrne, what could you do with $3,000 a year?
Not too much right now. I'd like more, but back in those days,
yeah, I should have adjusted it for inflation.
Yeah. I can make that work.
It was not a popular decision, by the way. It was unheard of at the time, but she sold herself as a widow, that just as a soldier's widow, and she actually
right. There were soldiers' pensions being mm-hmm. being paid, so why shouldn't she as the wife of the commander in chief?
Mm-hmm. Right. So now her attempt to sell her White House wardrobe, as Jackie was talking about, to pay off her debts. Only gets her even more negative attention.
Yeah.
Okay. She winds up actually getting kind of hoodwinked on the property. She winds up leaving. The guy she sells it to in New York, I believe, kind of pulls some backdoor moves on her a little bit and kind of cons her and plays on her a little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she winds up leaving there, having sold all that stuff and having less money than when she arrived.
Right. The cost of the trip and the stay and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Well, she has this complete irrational fear of poverty, too, by the way, which I found interesting. So her image is she keeps getting kind of cast in wackier and wackier positions throughout the later half of her life here. But her attempt to sell the wardrobe does not go well for her. And at the time of Lincoln's death, Mary Todd owed a large amount of money to a local jeweler. And out of pity and the respect, the jeweler actually settled the debt for her. Okay. Mary and Tad now travel and spend time over in Europe, and tragedy wasn't quite done with Mary Todd, though. Upon their return to America, Tad dies at age 18. Now, you'd said he had a cleft palate?
Yeah, he was he had a cleft palate, and, because of that, had a speech impediment. Really didn't go to school while they were still living in the White House. He goes to school later on, but, he had some difficulties himself. But he now dies at 18, so that's one more. She's three out of the four kids.
It's unbelievable.
She's out surviving three out of four children.
Yeah, it ain't good.
It's not good.
So I obviously feel terrible by that. But the overwhelming grief combined with this increasingly odd behavior leads to some concern over Mary's well-being. One of her more peculiar behaviors was this constant fear of being bankrupt, so much so, in fact, that she walked around with $56,000 worth of government bonds sewn into her petticoats. That doesn't even
imagine?
Sound comfortable.
No, no way. Yeah.
Like, what? It's. I mean, I.
Well, you always got to have mad money, that you know.
And Kahuna, don't worry. I know we're going to be wrapping it up here shortly, man. But
well, I don't know. We're keep going.
No,
man.
I know that, but we already walked the intern. You know, he seemed like a good guy, but he barely goes. I'm going to need more than four college credits for this shit.
Oh God.
Yeah, she was walking around with $56,000 worth of government bonds sewn into her petticoats and still had her $3,000 monthly pension to bank on as well. But while traveling down in Jacksonville, which I understand why she went crazy down there. I think we all, I could buy a house. We'll get married down the road, I guess. But Mary Todd becomes convinced that her only remaining son, Robert Todd, is deathly ill. So she rushes to Chicago to be with him. But finds Robert to be in good health. Mary then tells a confused Robert Todd that while she was on the train to come to him, that someone was attempting to poison her and that a wandering Jew.
Oh, I did read that.
I don't mean it, but I pictured your poor husband when I heard it.
Oh, my gosh, that's everything.
So a wandering Jew had stolen her pocketbook and then gave it back to her later. Now, real quick, without diving in too heavy here, Dad. What's a wandering Jew?
A wandering Jew is a mythical biblical figure that supposedly mocked Christ on his way to the crucifixion, And because he mocked Christ, he was then condemned to wander the earth for all eternity.
Now, if you want to, it's a dark story, but if you want to make it happier, you picture it as Mel Brooks and now it's a comedy.
Totally.
Right, right.
Well, so Robert Todd realized that maybe Mommy Dearest isn't firing on all cylinders anymore. And Mary is still highly interested in the occult and spiritualism. So, Cahoon, I'm going to ask you to pull up a photo here in a second if you can. Well, it's going to be search Mary Todd, Ghost of Lincoln.
Oh, I did see this picture.
Yeah, this one's creepy.
That is creepy.
Oh, the photographer, right?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, we're going to get into him for a second here real quick. So she eventually sat for a photograph with a known spiritualist, William H. Mumler.
Yeah, that's spooky. I'm sorry.
Yeah, now he's got some other creepy ones, too. There's one, I think, if you can search Mumler Master Herod. That one was the creepiest one that I saw. But I'll post these up on the Instagram. Mumler was considered to be a fraud here, but his pictures are widely circulated.
The Master what?
Master Herod, H-E-R-O-D. So, nope, nothing. All right, we'll find it later.
Yeah, but again, it's putting it out there, so it's the same.
That's it. That's the photo.
The same enhanced photos that you see at the supermarket checkout.
Right.
You know, that people look at that. Oh, my God, that's – you believe that, you know?
Yeah, so in this photo here that they pulled up, what this guy did, Mumler took a photo, an accidental photo that he didn't intend to take. And when he's having the thing developed, he was a photographer, mind you, and he finds the face of his dead cousin in the photo. So then he's all freaked out, and he decided, well, there's a market in this. I can capture the spirits with my, you know, my new photography equipment here. So it's almost Ghostbusters before Ghostbusters.
There's two ghosts in that photo.
There might be a third if you look hard enough.
I see one.
I see there's the one right there.
Yeah, I see that.
And then there's one leaning right above him.
Yep. Now, this is, I believe, Master Herod, and this is the three meeting.
Oh, there's the third.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, do you see the pretty young woman or the old witch? Power of suggestion, you're going to see whatever you're told you see.
It's not a schooner, it's a sailboat, you stupid.
You know what? There is no Easter Bunny.
But anyway,
spooky.
So the whole point is that what it winds up being is that it's a double exposure?
Double exposure.
So that's what is causing this with the photos here. But Mumler's making a lot of money off of this, and he actually gets Mary Todd's. Now, Mary Todd used a fake name when she was sitting for him, and there's some dispute as to when the photo was taken. But that photo was still widely circulated because, as you can see in the photo
with Lincoln in the,
of Mary Todd,
it
looks just like Abe is putting his hands on her shoulder saying, you know, I miss you. You know, I'm right. Still here with you.
And this whole spiritual thing, that didn't go away with the assassination of Abe Lincoln.
Oh, I mean, no.
I'm sure it strengthened it, right?
And you got to think the times. I mean, how many people are dying that, you know, and horrific deaths? The Civil War was the first war where photographs are coming back from the front of the dead and dying.
I can't even imagine.
You know, and galleries are displaying the – Matthew Brady had a big show in New York City showing the dead of these various battles. So, I mean, you could receive the news that your son just died at Chickamauga or something, and then you see these pictures that your mind is now saying, my God, my son must have died a horrific death. And you're doing whatever you can to – this whole spiritual thing had two really big bumps.
By the way, Cahuna just had to leave the studio because these pictures are getting too creepy for him.
That last one freaked me out a bit.
So I didn't mean to cut you off, Dad. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. But anytime
crazy.
There was a lot of pain and suffering or horrific deaths like the Civil War – had a big surge in spiritualism, and then later on during the First World War, again another big surge of spiritualism during the First World War.
So now I found this one weird little thing here. We've seen comedians have beefs with each other before, right, Jackie?
What do you mean?
Everybody
they're
just
all best
along.
Friends.
Jackie's actually Miss Congeniality. She really is. So she has often told me, she goes, I love when you throw shade.
I love when people throw shade.
Well, I try to be nice to people too, but I can't respect some people. but my whole point to this one here is that I thought it was very interesting that Mumler he has a huge enemy here that winds up actually bringing about a lawsuit against him that leads to a court hearing in which his enemy and competitor of some sorts testifies against him, and it ruins Mumler's career. He winds up dying penniless because of guess who? You'll never guess it. It's too wacky. P.T. Barnum.
What?
Yes.
Yeah,
P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum testifies against Mumler and ruins Mumler's life.
That's...
The P.T. Barnum is also...
Circus Man.
Yeah, right.
Versus Ghostbuster.
Right. Yes.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Showman. He was, you know, the epitome of the showman in there. Mm-hmm. And the guy that was also, you know... Never Get the Sucker and Even Breaker, A Sucker Is Born Every Minute kind of a thing, and Tom Thumb, and all these hoaxes that he pulled off himself and made bucks on.
Yeah, this would have been, interesting to see in Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately now, in 1875, as we're getting towards the end here, fearing for his mother's sanity, Robert Todd begins procedures to have her committed at Bellevue Place, which is an insane asylum, pretty much.
Sanitarium.
Mm. Mary Todd attempted suicide, actually. She was so distraught over this idea by purchasing large doses of laudanum. Okay, she wasn't able to go through with it, though, because the clerk swapped it out for a placebo. Mary Todd was committed to – also, by the way, laudanum and some opioids, I should say, or opium – very commonly used for like headaches and pain and stuff like that back then. So you're taking somebody who's already showing mental cracks and then people like, oh, use this opium to get you through it. Opium will help you out.
Well, that's all they had.
Yeah, and she had no Pink Floyd light laser shows to go to or nothing. So anyway, so now Robert Todd doesn't want to do this, but he's fearful of what's going on with his mother here. And his mother becomes kind of vindictive about this. She is actually committed to the Institute for 3 months. While there... Mary smuggles letters to her lawyers, James and Myra Bradwell, who, by the way, this is the term I heard for Myra Bradwell. It made me laugh because I pictured you, Jackie.
Oh, no.
Feminist lawyer.
You think that's me?
No, but I don't know why I popped in there. I was just I was trying to figure out what a feminist lawyer is.
And it's me.
But it's I guess so.
It's, I'm not offended.
It's definitely maybe it's a divorce lawyer. That's
well,
what
maybe they gave her that term because right now too the suffrage, women's suffrages is also going
first
on
wave
right
too. Mm-hmm. The
yeah,
really
right
yeah.
exactly.
So anyway, her lawyers are now able to start letting Robert Todd know that his mother is willing to start making a big scene, if you will. Where she's going to actually admit a bunch of stuff that Robert Todd's actually having her committed in order to try to control the Lincoln fortune and all that other stuff and a lot of other things that maybe Robert Todd didn't want coming out as he's, again, on his way to a successful political career.
Mm. Yeah, now you said she was only – she was there for – committed for 3 months. She was committed without – an end game. Kind
oh yeah,
of
it was
Robert was trying to put her away to the Laughing Academy for quite a long stay.
The Laughing Academy. It is,
what a great name!
That is a great name.
The Funny Farm, whatever you want to call it.
Farm.
But
no, I like the Laughing Academy.
I know,
more.
I've never heard that. That's great.
They're always having fun.
The Laughing Academy.
Yeah, but it was only through Mary's. Contacts on the outside and writing letters.
Oh yeah,
to
she wasn't
going to
get out.
Everything
this
else.
Wasn't like P90X for
right,
your mind.
Right.
So the mother winds up getting herself out. Okay, that's the last thing you want is to commit your own mother and then have her get out. But the two kind of grow estranged from this.
Yeah, I think that would piss you off a little bit.
I don't know. My
when you have me committed to the Laughing Academy, I'm.
I was going to ask because we talked about Willie earlier. Jackie Byrne, are you the favorite in your family?
Oh, come on. What kind of question is that?
She knows she's the favorite. That's the thing. So, I'm not the favorite, but I'm hoping this podcast will turn it around. So, it gets weird here. So the two of them become estranged. They wind up patching things up towards the very end of Mary Todd's life. To avoid further issues, Mary Todd was released within 90 days. She was declared legally able to handle her own functions,
right.
if you will. And she moved back in with her sister. The incident caused Robert Todd and Mary to not speak again until shortly after her death a few years later. After a few more years of living over in France, because when you learn another language, you can live in that country. Kind of cool,
right? Going back to her schoolgirl days.
Exactly. So she's living over in France. She then starts to feel ill and returns to the United States, where she unfortunately dies of a stroke at age 63. So Mary Todd is laid to rest with Willie, Eddie, Tad, and Abe himself in Lincoln's tomb in Springfield, Illinois. So the first lady, she dealt with some shit.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Jackie, did we miss anything? Is there anything else you had on there?
No, that's it. Poor Mary.
You had notes. You had staples put in there. I want to make sure we're getting to this stuff.
No, you did. You guys are very thorough.
She's even got highlighter going.
Only on the one.
Pen.
Only on the one.
Did we hit it?
You hit it.
Okay.
Come on.
All right.
But very sympathetic character here, I would say, right?
I feel for her. I would go
freaking
crazy.
I'm not calling
crazy.
This lady American loser.
Yeah, I know. I feel just like she's a victim.
Loser of circumstance.
Yeah, right. There you go. Loser of circumstance.
But if you also look, it's almost like there's a Game of Thrones thing where it's like, you're going to get married to the king, but he's a piece of shit. You know, there's
it's
a set like...
It's a catch-22.
On paper, things are great. Like, oh, you're from a wealthy family and you're going to marry the president and you know, you're going to have all these kids. And it's just sad shit, man. But it's a bummer. We went a little bit long on this one.
Oh, by the way, question. The Bellevue that you mentioned, was that the Bellevue that, like, I think of in New York?
No.
Or this is a very different...
Chicago. Right outside of Chicago. It was in... Because you're talking Bellevue Hospital. We're talking Bellevue Place. So it was, I want to say, Batavia, Illinois or something like that. B-A-T-A-V-I-A.
It could be. And the only other thing I want to throw out there, too, is with Mary Todd's erratic behavior, if you will, and everything else. Now, Jackie, you said that some of that might be attributed to she had some type of illness or disease.
What, bipolar disorder?
Bipolar disease.
Manic,
There's been a lot of different medical opinions thrown at that what might have caused her, and one of which was a vitamin B12 deficiency, which leads to pernicious anemia.
Pernicious anemia?
Pernicious anemia. Thank you.
It's all good.
But she did have a lot of the symptoms of that, you know, reading through diaries and everything else and photographs, the way her eyes were set in her head, her rounded face, the fact that her mother and father were probably second or third cousins.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, coming from there's an area, and they were of Scottish descent, and there's an area in Scotland that there's a very strong predominance of having this deficiency. So it could have been that right from the get-go. But, you know, again, that's one medical opinion. There was many.
Well, I get a little again, I'm adopted, if you guys don't know. That's why I'm not handsome like you, Dad. But, it's concerning sometimes because.
Handsome in a different way, KP.
Well, here's my problem. I was once looking up.
It's so sweet.
I was once looking up. What was it? What's it called when the mother drinks while she's pregnant?
Oh, fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah, I was looking up the symptoms or the you know. Signs of fetal alcohol. And I'm sitting there and I was like, this is 90% me. And I asked my mother, my mother, Sandy Burke, your wife.
That angel.
I went up to her and I just said, Mom, is there any way to, do you think my biological mother drank while she was pregnant with me? And Mom just goes, yeah, probably.
Jesus.
A lot of women don't know that they're pregnant.
I think that was probably what happened.
That's probably
what
happened.
It's also upset.
I would take,
how many babies were conceived because of alcohol?
That's it, too.
Also, that's another good point, too. Right? But
also, if you ever plan on moving to Illinois, fun fact, these are apartments now where Mary Todd stayed.
The old insane asylum?
Yeah. Aww. So, there you go.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to American Loser live from...
Yeah, right?
live
that would
from
be a
Bellevue
fun one.
Institute.
So that being said here, guys, this podcast is my dream project. It's my favorite thing. I love doing it, Dad. Every week you put in so much research here. We have awesome guests like my dear friend Jackie Byrne.
Thanks
putting in research.
Me.
You're awesome on the show every time. You're always welcome.
Thanks.
Kahuna, absolutely. You've been with us since day one, dude. All right? We've been actively trying to get rid of you. It's just not working.
well, there you go. You got the replacement back.
We tried different days of the week, Sunday morning when he's watching cartoons.
You guys are interfering with my busy schedule. Come on.
But no, I love you, and you're a part of the show, man. You know that.
Hey, you know how much I love this. Like, I genuinely look forward to doing this with y'all.
That's so sweet.
No, like, I really do. Like, there's very few podcasts where I'm like, yes! and I get to sit in and listen to some cool shit. And then I'm like, here we go.
And then you learn.
And then I learn.
Right?
And the goal
and
is
laugh.
The goal is to trick people into learning. That's what we've been doing here.
You do it.
And make my jaw drop.
The feedback, the feedback we get is it's really nothing but excellent. So, guys, if you're liking the show, leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. It boosts us up in the rankings so that when that the Sundquist family, who gave us that amazing note, they found us because they searched for Custer. So when you search for Custer, enough people gave us reviews on iTunes that it boosted us in the search results.
Oh, that's so cool.
So when you leave us the review on there, it helps us out so much because I don't want to start charging for the show. I lose money on it every week while we do it. It is totally a passion project here. And that being said, next week we are coming up on our one-year anniversary of this here show, Kahuna. So we are going to go live. I'm pretty excited about it. It's going to be Monday the 26th. So technically the first time we came out was the 23rd, but I got a gig that night. So I
can't.
So we're
going
to push our anniversary 3 days. So Monday night we'll come in here. I'm going to try to shoehorn Jackie Byrne into coming back in for this one. But I want to go on Facebook Live, and I figure what we'll do is we'll answer questions from people, and we'll start actually we're going to launch your little idea you had, which I loved, and I can't believe I didn't think of it. We're going to rank the losers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, but again, we'll set it up. We'll be on
That's
Facebook
brilliant.
Live so you guys can ask us questions. We can see who's on there. I can find out which one of the girls I'm trying to talk to is still into me. And but that being said, Jackie,
we should Instagram Live, then I can just slide into their DMs for you. I'm a good wing woman.
It is relentless, by the way.
Thank you.
She's
very
fantastic.
Much.
Jay Byrne, quick question for you. Well, where can people find you? You got any shows coming up? This is going to come out later tonight.
So later tonight, I actually have a bunch of private stuff for the rest of August, so you can't come see me. But in August, I'm like at Uncle Vinny's like every other weekend.
You got a website they can check you out on?
Yeah, JackieByrne.com, BYRNE.
All right, and also Instagram, Twitter?
Yeah, Instagram is Jackie_Byrne, and then it's JackieByrne on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, we do have awesome fans of the show here, so that they will follow you, they will check
Thanks.
You.
Thanks.
Twitter, said the Jersey girl.
Twitter. I can't be subtle, it's not in me.
I love you for that. For me, it's KP Burke Sucks at Instagram and Twitter, KP Burke on Facebook, that's where I'm having the most fun. Check us out. Sometimes I get very lucky and I get to work with Jackie Byrne on comedy shows. So if you see one of those opportunities, please take it. All right. It's a good show.
We don't do
anything similar. You're very likable, bubbly, upfront. People love you. And then I talk about kids dying of heroin overdoses.
That's 100% not true. But also, if you guys love this podcast, you need to share it with your friends and your family, too. They deserve it. It's a great thing.
It's very family friendly.
Confront them.
It is. It
Confront
is. Teachers,
mandate it.
Use it in school in September.
Why
not?
There are cousins that are angling for that,
Spread
which I appreciate.
The word.
But that being said, guys, LP, did you have any other notes on the way out?
You can find me probably out in the garage building something.
Or coming to KP shows. Come
so,
on. Yeah, right.
Also yeah. true. So now here's what we'll do. So we'll debunk the last thing here on our way out. The Fox sisters we talked about.
Oh, right.
So they got debunked.
They got, well, yeah. I mean, as big as this whole spiritual thing was growing. I mean, it was really the Fox sisters that they give the birth to spiritualism with the Fox sisters. Turns out that they were just goofing on their parents, that the two girls, this 11-year-old and this 14-year-old, the thumping that they heard in the night, they took a string and tied it onto an apple, and they were lifting the apple up in the air on the string and then letting it drop. But they then moved in with some other people in the area who really took it to a whole different level, that when they made their big audience show, they're sitting at a table and they're hearing these clicking noises or these thumping noises. Well, that wasn't an apple on a string. They were actually learned how to crack their toes, like you would crack your knuckles. They learned how to crack their toes and their ankles to make these clicks or these knocking sounds. And, of course, now you've got women in long hoop skirts and stuff, so you couldn't see their feet. You couldn't see what was going on with their feet underneath their skirts because it was debunked. They were debunked because when they were sitting on a sofa on a carpeted floor, they weren't hearing any of the noises. And a lot of these spiritualists and a lot of these mediums and stuff were later debunked. I mean, the photographer.
Did this come to light after? Mary passed away, or was this before?
Because
that would have been pissed.
I think this came before. Now, I don't think the Fox sisters were ever involved directly with Mary Todd.
They were more so Jane Pierce.
Jane Pierce.
She invited them to the White House. You ever pull a prank on your parents to fuck with them, and then you get invited to the White House?
That's right.
Oh, no.
You parlay
all
that.
All the time, right?
Yeah. All the time.
You parlay that into national recognition and a visit to the White House.
Yeah, that's like when Nate came over and drank all your beer that one weekend.
Yeah, that didn't go over well. That made him famous in my mind.
Infamous, right?
But this was a very fun one. We had a good time here. I hope you guys enjoyed it. That was Mary Todd Lincoln, American Loser.
An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born. An American loser the day I was born.